Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service here at Emmanuel. All visitors are very welcome, and you're invited to introduce yourself to the minister or an elder or any members, and you're certainly welcome to join everybody for a cup of tea or coffee in the hall after the service. I'd also like to welcome those who'll be joining us later when they listen to the recorded service. Emmanuel has joined with its sister church in Highworth, and it's also a member of the Swindon Old Town Partnership of Churches. I would like to remind you that the elders' elections will be taking place at the church AGM on Sunday, the 19th of April, and today is the closing day for nominations for elders to be submitted. Please make sure they are handed in by the end of the service, or at the end of the service, I suppose. The service this morning will be led by Robert, our minister. The reader is Irene Chesterman, and Wally Knight will be leading our prayers of intercession. I will now light the Christ candle to remind us of Christ's light in the world.
Hello, all of you. Good morning. Good to see you. Yesterday was one of the two Saturdays of the year, the other one being in October, where the Southwestern Synod meets as Synod. And it was good because it's a time when we all come together, reminding ourselves of the breadth and width of the synod, of the churches, of the United Reformed family all around. I must admit that because of the meeting, I lost the first two matches of Six Nations yesterday, so only got home in time to see the last one. But, okay, and that's the last thing I'm going to say about the Six Nations. Mothering Sunday, it is today. And it was quite interesting when I first reached here how I was corrected by a number of you sitting here today saying it's not Mother's Day, it's Mothering Sunday. The day that people used to return in the days when there was only probably one day holiday in the year for those who worked to go back to the place where they had come from and gather in the church in which they had grown up. The mother, the church, the God of love. And we gather for worship today and remember this. The theme of today is light and darkness. And of course, of all the Sundays we've had of miserable weather, when I'm going to talk about darkness as well as light, we have a sunny day. Psalm 43 says, "Send out your light and your truth to be our guide. Let them lead us to your holy hill, to your dwelling place." May this be so for our life and the life of this world at this time. Amen. Our first hymn sung by us all today is from Rejoice and Sing 382. "Come, let us join our cheerful songs." I'm going to light the peace candle now with two things in mind. One of them is in today's news. Some of you have probably read it because at least one person has commented it to me already. Others may read it after the service. And that was the invitation of a president of a particular country in the world, and I am not going to mention him by name. You can probably guess who I'm talking about, who said, "Let's keep bombing the oil rigs for fun." I couldn't even have come up with that if I'd had a bad dream, but there we are. So for some people it is fun, for others it is not. Brilliant words of Pope Leo XIV this week that said, "War is never holy, only peace is holy." And then I have put this up on my Facebook as well. David Bedford is a United Reform Church person who led the pre-retirement course I was on, and he writes this today. "During the Second World War, a group of people stopped whatever they were doing at a specific time every night to pray for peace and safety for everyone. They did this every day, and it was in the whole city, and it was as if the whole city paused. Such was the power of prayer. The result was so overwhelming that the bombing stopped shortly afterwards. Now, once again, some people are organizing a group of people around the world that has agreed to spend 1 minute praying for the safety of our countries, for the end of the problems that oppress us, and for the King of Kings to guide the decisions. So, we will gather at the following times." And you'll find this on my Facebook page. In Argentina, it'll be at 5 o'clock p.m. And if you go down the list, in UK, it'll be 9 o'clock p.m. If you can find, round about that time, 1 minute to stop what you're doing, the news is usually finished by then, and have a prayer for peace and safety, we may have an influence in the world that goes beyond what we imagine we can have. If some people think it's fun, let us say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for peace. And in this spirit is that we light the peace candle, as we have for many years now. And now let us gather for a time of prayer that we will end saying the Lord's Prayer all together. We gather for worship, sharing a time similar in so many places around the world. We can do it in the safety of this building, coming and going without issues. Many places will do it in risky areas, in the middle of rubble, of destruction, of fear and death. God of darkness and light, open our eyes to your justice. God of goodness and glory, open our minds to your wisdom. God of mercy and kindness, open our hearts to your love. Shield us, God, with your staff and bring us safely on the path we are walking. Guide us with your truth and your goodness so that we may reach the place that you want us to be at. Encourage us with your kindness, so that we may share kindness with others on this journey. Be a shepherd to us, walking with us always, opening our eyes to see who walks the path of life with us. Help us to understand people's lives, even when they are different from ours. Help us to be grateful. Come to us, the God who is also the mothering God. Come to us as a nurturing presence. In love, hold us in your arms. Come to us, the God we call Father, enabling us to find strength in your love. Come to us, the parent God, as friend and comforter, the one that heals our wounds and walks our way. Come, you who are also the wounded and also the presence of life, to make us whole. Come to us. We need your help and we need your guidance. We make mistakes. We say things that we should not have said. And we have kept silent when you expected us to say something. Forgive us our mistakes. Forgive us our unkindness. Forgive us when we give way to fear. And in your forgiveness, and through the grace of your love, help us to become better people, more loving people, more praying people, more serving people, so the world may know that there is a difference. Give us your peace, so that we may share that peace with those we come in contact with. And having been forgiven, may we be forgivers. And having known love, may we be loving. We give our lives to you to guide and sustain. And we pray in the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our second hymn, again from Rejoice and Sing, 578, Lord of Light, whose name outshineth all the stars and suns of space. Please be seated, and Irene will lead us in the reading for this morning.
The reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14, and can be found on page 192 in the Bibles. And unlike last week, this is a very short reading. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Just before the choir leads us in the anthem, I heard 2 minutes before coming into the service that the extra time you shared here last Sunday, because I do confess the service was a bit longer than even I expected, was compensated by the service in Highworth. Is that correct, Anne? It was a rather shorter service at Highworth. But that makes it, on average, we both had an hour service, because Highworth service was only half an hour, more or less, and you had an hour and a half. So the Reformed Church in the Amalgamated Church of Emmanuel and Highworth had a service of, on average, an hour each, which is acceptable. And thank goodness for that, I have got away and off the hook that I thought I would have been on. The choir will now lead us in the anthem, "Be Thou My Vision."
Thank you.
Thank you for that. That was absolutely beautiful. Thank you very much. The composer, Jeff gave me the name, I can't remember. He is still alive, so it's quite a modern composition with words that we have sung to a different version before. Dear God, light and darkness coexist in the world. Help us be children of the light. We need to understand your word to be able to live it. May your spirit guide us on this journey. Amen. Those who study linguistics, go deep into the books of the Bible, will say that they can only fully recognize Paul as the author of 6 letters, not all of them. And the one we have just heard from is not one of those 6. Ephesians is not. I'm not saying it's not his. It's not guaranteed to be his, but inspired by Paul. So the ones he did write for sure were Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, the first letter to the Thessalonians, and Philemon. One of them is very short and the others are quite long. The first one he ever wrote was the first letter to the Thessalonians in about the year 50. And the last one he wrote was about the year 60, 61. Ephesians is inspired by him, and it's a sort of reading that some people say, if he'd lived a less hectic life, this is what he would have liked to have written. Probably true. But as in the Bible, you will find many references to lightness and darkness, often in opposition, in tension. That one excludes the other. We now know that we need both. If you want a shadow to refuge in the heat of a summer's day under the shade of a tree, that shadow is only there because there is light. Shadow only exists because there is light. It's the interruption of a body between you and the light, and it's a shadow. And we know darkness because we experience light, and we know light because we experience darkness. I, for one, cannot get to sleep if there is a little bit of light coming in through my bedroom window. So blackout curtains, and even that sometimes is not enough because there is a little gap between the blackout curtain and the frame. And if it's a full moon, of course the light will come in. If you're walking in a dark road and it's full moon, you're grateful for that light. I am having trouble driving at night now because some of these new cars have those wonderfully bright white lights that blind you. Is it a curse? Is it a gift? And sometimes it's both at the same time. There can never be shadows without light. Please remember that. And today's reading from the letter to the Ephesians is preceded in chapter 5, which is weird. Each version has a way of cutting things. Do you know, verses didn't exist when the texts were written. So somebody along the way divided them in chapters and verses. You don't sit down and write a letter to somebody, even on the internet, and say, oh, this is chapter 1, verse 1. You just write. And that's what the biblical letters were. They wrote. And then somebody said, oh, to make sure we read them properly. But the version I use today began the paragraph in verse 8. In the Bibles you have, it begins with verse 5. Does it make any difference? I'm not sure, except that you picked up in the middle of a paragraph. But in the beginning of chapter 5, there's a whole list of things to avoid and to reject. Not to be people that delve into those, and they mention some of them. And I'm not saying this is a problem for Emmanuel, I'm just mentioning what the beginning of the Bible says. Sexual immorality, greed, obscenity, foolish talk, which is not the same as having a good sense of humor. I just want to mention that. These are things that God rejects. We are asked not to be partners of such reality. And it's interesting because we live in a world where these borderlines are sometimes blurred. Like I said when I lit the candle, oh, for fun, let's keep bombing. That's not funny. Who thinks that's funny when, as a consequence, there will be death and destruction? Who thinks that's funny? I'm not asking you to name the person, but still. The reading marks on a reality that begins by saying, once you were darkness. And then adds the words, but now. And it just reminds us that in life we are on a passage, a journey, and we evolve, we change. I would hope that you would recognize that there are some parts of your life today that you have learned things, that you don't do the things exactly as you did before, probably in an improvement. But that doesn't mean to say we don't mess things up or we don't make mistakes. It's just we are in a process and a journey. So he said, but now, he says, you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And this is a reminder that what we do and what we say, what we think, should be always related to our beliefs. And raises a critical question. How do you determine what is right? How do you determine what is wrong? What actions are connected to light and which actions are connected to darkness? Is wrong always wrong? Is right always right? And that makes it complicated. It's not an easy answer. You've got to determine who you are, where you are, what the context is. It was very interesting on Wednesday at the Lent talk in Christchurch. They were considering the passage on Matthew 4 when Jesus is tested by the opposer in the desert. And one of the questions in the group in which I was, it was very interesting because it said the question is the only time Jesus speaks as he does to the opposer, to the tempter, is in that passage when he sort of triggers back answers. He never speaks like that to the widow worried about the death of her son or to the Samaritan woman that we talked about last Sunday. He enters into dialogue, into care. Why is he like that with the person that comes up wanting healing? And why is he different to the tempter? And we came to the conclusion that it had to do with who he was talking with, the context. And that made the way he spoke there very different from the way he spoke to other people in his ministry. So even in Jesus' life, the context, the moment, was important to determine, as it is for our life, to find out how we live it and what we do. And this is made crystal clear in verse 11 of the reading for today. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead of that, expose them. And what the author of this letter is trying to say, it's not only not being part of them, but denouncing them. They are wrong. And our mission as Christians often is not only not doing things, but saying why we aren't doing them, why we denounce them, why we believe that that is wrong. It's a challenge for each era, but where we are living, there are so many opportunities for us to say no, because. That means to say we have to try and understand ourselves what the choice of being light is in the world, to be able to say something. Darkness is all around us, and we can get caught up in that. But please never forget that light is also there. And I've said this so many times, and I hope never to give up on it. Even the little candle we have, the three we have lit here, they're there for a reason. Will it change the world? Yes. Step by step, little by little, not on their own. But if we all play our role as a little bit of light, or if we pray, as I said when I lit the peace candle, that prayer in the Second World War changed things. A minute of prayer in every country of the world at a similar time has power. That is the power of light. And this reading includes a very special invitation. For once we were darkness, now we are children of the light and should live as such. And the passage closes, as Irene pointed out, a much shorter reading than last Sunday, what it is to live as children of light. Exposed by light, we become visible. And probably one of the important things of people of belief in God's love in the world today is to be visible. This is not defined by a majority vote. We live in a world by, oh yes, I've got the majority. What does that mean? Does that mean you're automatically right? No, it just means that lots of people believe the same as you do. And I was preparing the notes for today, and I had to look it up because I didn't remember the exact words, but a famous saying of many years back says, eat rubbish, billions of flies can't be mistaken. You've probably heard of that. So let's eat rubbish. Come on, flies love it. Can billions of flies in the world be wrong? Now, we aren't flies. But if millions do it, are we going to do it? If millions jump in the lake, are we going to jump in the lake? If thousands decide, is that the right way? There's a big debate going on in this country on changing the voting system. First past the post or proportional representation. What represents your vote more, one or another? And we're not too sure what to do because things have been done one particular way for many years. Has that always been the best? What happens with those parties that never get in? Because it's only first past the post. I mean, and if you vote for one of the smaller parties, I wonder if, are you being able to follow what I'm trying to say? The majority, the billions of flies eating rubbish, don't always determine, or should not always determine, our behavior. We have a first responsibility, and that is our actions should be that of the children of the light. By doing what is preached by Jesus, the values of the kingdom. And this is something that Paul hasn't been able to write too much about because his encounter was only with the resurrected Christ. He didn't have much experience of the preaching of Jesus in the daily life. As I said, his first letter is written about the year 50, round numbers, 20 years after Jesus died. So he writes about the consequence of the resurrection, but we know, according to the Gospels, that Jesus, in his encounter with people, was giving the plan of the kingdom. And that is very different sometimes. We are invited to understand life through the values of the kingdom. When we analyze the economic world we live in, or the political world, or the social world, our role is to offer the gifts of grace. And whenever we come across projects that may be based on a certain world structure, do we agree with it? A project based on entitlement, is that the way it should be? Well, some are sent to the back because the first places are not fit for you. Or when some are excluded because in Jesus' time they were Gentile. Or as we saw last Sunday, because they were women. Or if you're going to be judged if you're progressive or you're conservative or you're gay or anything that determines our fears. Because all these negatives are based on our fears. And the light shines through the darkness and reminds us of all that is good and what God wants it to be there. The reading invites us to be wise. And the wisdom of every day, of the simple things of life, to be wise not necessarily by winning a popularity contest, but by being faithful children of the light and denouncing what is wrong. The light is what allows us to recenter. I was walking from Taunton Station to the Taunton Church yesterday, and I was following Google Maps. And once I looked up and moved, and I had to recenter because the arrow was going to take me in a totally opposite direction. I needed recentering yesterday. And our lives, we have to recenter. And there isn't always Google Maps there to help us do it. We seek correction. We seek forgiveness. We seek change. Living in the light, our lives offer the fruits of love, of peace and hope. This is the challenge we face in the times we live. There is darkness, but there is also light. We should be called the children of light, making a difference in this world. And that comes from being faithful to the teachings of Jesus, which also means saying no with a reason. Let us pray. You are the power of life. Draw us into your companionship, defining the boundaries of life. May we be on the way towards others, towards a new life, in sync with the one who is Lord of Easter. Give us the power of the resurrection and the dedication of the values of the kingdom. Amen. Our next hymn from Rejoice and Sing, hymn 520, For ourselves no longer living, let us live for Christ alone. Please be seated. What a brilliant mind Fred Cairn had for writing poetry. Wally, yes. Oh, no, sit down, Wally. Sit down, Wally. It's the offering first. Let us share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. Thank you for what we receive. Thank you for giving us the possibility of sitting apart from all that we have, what we put in the plate or what we give in different ways. That our life, that what we own, that what we share may be signs of your love in this world. Bless those who have to decide how the offering is used. And bless our lives in living the kingdom. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Just before I do the prayers today, I thought it would be lovely if we could just say thanks to all our mothers everywhere, past and present, for everything that they do. Dear Lord, as we look around at a very turbulent world, we pray first of all for peace, your peace. May all those in positions of authority seek peace and keep a clear and calm head in doing that. And let us ourselves try and be peacemakers. We hear a lot about the distortion of truth these days, with fake news, for example. Let us always remember that the truth, in your word, is the truth. And let us not be fooled by falsity. We pray that AI will be something very, very positive for our world. And now we thank you for our Old Town partnership of churches and pray that it will really thrive and serve our local community. We thank you too for all that our own dear Minister Robert has done here and still does locally. And may he be blessed in his future endeavours. As we look outside, we notice the daylight getting longer, nature springing back to life, and think that summer is not far away. But may we remember too that we have a beautiful world. Let us cherish it. We pause now to turn our thoughts and prayers to all those going through difficult times. We pray that Simon Stevenette may continue his recovery and find new strength. And thank you for all doctors and nurses and all kinds of carers everywhere. Let us now pray for those we know who are finding life difficult. Finally, let us remember a great quotation from Dr. Martin Luther King. Come what may, God is able. We pray all these things in your dear Son's name. Amen.
Thank you, Wally. At Christmas time, they are Santa's helpers. On Mothering Sunday, they are mothering helpers. Can you come and help us? Just before we sing the last hymn and the blessing, flowers will be distributed. They're more or less the same amount of flowers. They look bigger if the flowers are about to bloom. They look smaller if the flowers will be blooming in a few days. But enjoy them, receive them with gratitude, and may they remind you of all that is beautiful and worth living and sharing and experiences. Have you all of you, got flowers? Has anybody not got flowers? No? Oh dear, oh dear. Jeff is adorable, isn't he? Are you going to complete the list? There we are. John, Wally. Norm. Did you get any flowers, David? He has now. Okay. Well, we hope you all have flowers. Don't. This is. If you haven't, speak up, eh? Thank you. And our final hymn for this morning. We're going to change a hymn book now. So it's from Sing Praise, and it'll be hymn 13. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. It says Advent at the top, but as Jeff pointed out, it fits in so well with the theme, so it means to say it goes for any time, whenever we need it. So, hymn number 13, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness.
Thank you.
Go with a smile on your face, even if it's for a fraction of a second, to break the gloom that surrounds us. And if you see the smiles of others, may it multiply. Go knowing that there are people who care, and if life is tough, you have people to turn to. Go in the peace of God, that we may be light in this world because we receive the light that comes from God. And may the peace of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all and with God's people everywhere this day and forevermore. Amen.